Welcome to season 13 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Catherine, and I am so pleased to be joined by my co-host, Laura.
Hello.
This season of the podcast, we're continuing conversations of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. This week, we're back to Laura to hear what's been inspiring her.
Hooray! But first, we've got to circle back and hear what's been going on with you and specifically building thinking classrooms. I know you shared this last week. Do you have any updates or new thinking about implementing thinking classrooms in PD sessions that you want to give us?
Yes, I'm very happy to share that I set reasonable, small, tangible, now what goals for the week, and I accomplished them.
Yeah.
As a reminder, one of the strategies of a thinking classroom is to form visibly random groups. And I wanted to do something a bit playful with how to create these groups. So I designed my very own card deck, and I have to say they're super cute.
I love this.
I found some playful monster avatars on Freepik, and then I used ChatGPT to come up with fun group names. So I have Smarty Sparks and Dreamweavers, Idea Explorers, and so on. I made little stickers that I turned into cards. I had them laminated, and I made table tents. So I am ready to get people into random groups in my summer sessions.
I love this so much. And I have to say, I kind of cheated and I peeked in the document yesterday and I read this and then happened to kind of wander over to your desk shortly after. So I got to see them in real life and they are so cute and what a great idea. And yeah, like you really made that happen with a week turnaround. So gold star on that. Now what there?
Yes, yes. My other goal was to get the thinking classroom macro and micro moves that I thought applied to PD session in one place so I could remember them all. And I actually created a Canva infographic with these ideas.
Ooh.
So I'm now even thinking, how can I turn this work into a micro course or a webinar? But these practices are definitely at the top of my mind as I'm designing summer PD, and I'm happy to add some new strategies to my Designing for Learning toolkit.
Wow, that is a definite gold star for this week. Good work. Way to utilize Canva and just make it happen. So nice.
Thank you.
So before we jump in to what I've brought to share this week, Catherine, do you have a quick win share for us?
Today, I'm sharing information about a nonprofit called the Educator Collective. This organization's mission is to focus on three core elements of educator empowerment: community, leadership, and well-being. And it is open to any educator in DFW. So here's another nod to well-being on theme this year.
Excellent.
And the Educator Collective offers free and paid memberships, and their schedule this past year had a variety of in real life and virtual events. So I'm so sorry I missed the high impact PD at Chocolate Secrets.
Ooh.
And they had a webinar series on joy, like cultivating what matters and reclaiming joy in education. They had a leadership symposium using Canva and goat yoga. And this past weekend, a summer social at Chicken and Pickle. So a wide variety of events.
Cool.
Shout out to our friend Morgan in Richardson ISD. She's the one who brought the Educator Collective to my attention. And this group is also going to be part of the summer RISD Grow Conference. So I will make certain I connect with them while we're presenting at that event. So it is quick to sign up for their free membership, and their mission, values, and programming all look like wins in my book. And I can't wait to participate in this community this upcoming year.
Oh, wow. What a cool share. And instantly I want to dive in and check out everything that they have to offer. So very cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Morgan.
Excellent.
Okay, Laura, let's hear from you and what you've brought for us today. We are, of course, using our reflective protocol to guide the conversation. So I'll be asking you to consider the what, so what, and now what of your share.
I'm ready.
Okay, so let's start with the what. Tell us, what is inspiring you to learn this week?
Well, this week I'm inspired yet again by work from the Stanford D School. And today that inspiration comes from a very fun book called Creative Acts for Curious People: How to Think, Create, and Lead in Unconventional Ways. And if you know me, you know that basically all of these words are right up my alley and unsurprisingly inspirational for me. And spoiler, I gave Catherine a small preview yesterday and I had you flip through the book, and I'm pretty sure you ordered it while you were standing at my desk. You took a couple of photos. You were already inspired to learn. So Catherine, I know you're primed and ready to hear more.
Yes, the book is out for delivery even as we're recording. So
hooray, hooray.
Yes, yes. You need no nudges from me. I'm inspired and ready for this share, Laura. I cannot wait. All right, so let's pull up our timer and in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist. Tell us about Creative Acts for Curious People.
You got it. So Creative Acts for Curious People comes from the Stanford D School, and it was curated by Executive Director Sarah Steen Greenberg and illustrated by Mike Hershen. It's described as a book full of unconventional and practical ways to help you bring creative approaches to any challenge you face. It's big, chunky, inviting, and vibrantly illustrated, and it kind of looks like it could be a coffee table book or maybe one that you have displayed on your desk. It is a collection of 80 exercises or assignments, plus ideas, stories, and a few essays from the D School and beyond, designed to help you turn curiosity into ideas and ideas into action. In the intro, Sarah talks about how she wanted to bring a taste of the D School learning experience to readers with some recipes for creating special moments and getting to see what it feels and looks like to creatively take on a challenge without knowing exactly how to do it before you do it. There's our time and there's my blurb.
Well, as you said, I saw a sneak peek and I cannot wait for my book to arrive, but I love this thought about curious people. I also really like the word unconventional, and we both have several copies of some of these D School books. I know it's beautifully designed and I'm ready to go a little bit deeper. So tell us more to answer so what about Creative Acts for Curious People is inspiring you to learn.
Well, first and foremost, it has to be said, audio is truly the worst medium for sharing this book, because it really is just beautiful, colorful, and inviting. And so I think holding the book in your hand is a big piece of it, but I'm going to make it work with an audio medium. It's just really fun to flip through and see what catches your eye. And it's designed to work this way too. So for me, just kind of casually glancing through the book is inspirational in itself. But I'd say I was already in with the opening line of actually the book jacket blurb that says, in an era of ambiguous, messy problems, as well as extraordinary opportunities for positive change, it's vital to have both an inquisitive mind and the ability to act with intention. So this book came out in 2021, and a lot of it was curated during the 2020 wildness. And so I remember ordering it shortly after it came out, because those phrases, opportunity for change, inquisitive mind, and act with intention were very much on my mind then, as they are now too. But I do have to admit, when I got the book in 2021, I read through a chunk of it, flipped through a lot of it, but I was still figuring out, well, how to be a person, but also how to be a facilitator in that weird time in 2021. So it actually ended up on my shelf for a while, kind of unused. Cut to now, when I'm looking for some inspiration for ideas to use in some longer form in-person summer PD sessions, as well as problem solving and goal setting sessions with coaches. So rediscovering this book and its guiding elements of intention, inclusion, collaboration, and creativity is giving me all the inspiration today. Catherine, I flagged this quote for you since you kind of introduced me to this thematic idea of playfulness. It says, these exercises embody playful yet rigorous ideas, and they'll help you begin to act way into a creative reality.
Oh my goodness, Laura. I hope my delivery arrives immediately so I can dig into this a little bit more. But so many of these words just resonate with me. And we've had all of these discussions with intention and inclusion and collaboration. Mm-hmm. So I can see how this is the perfect read and is inspiring you and now me. So, So what about some of the content and all of those exercises you mentioned? Will you tell us a little more?
Sure. So the book is loosely organized by the order of how each of these ideas or assignments would be introduced to new students at the D school. And the exercises are numbered 1 through 80. So you can read through the book chronologically. You can use this order, or like I mentioned, just kind of randomly flip through and see what catches your eye. The exercises themselves are meant to take anywhere from 10 minutes to a couple of weeks to complete, depending on the topic, the structure, and how deep you want to go with it.
Well, when I picked up the book and just flipped through, I was immediately captured by an illustration or a bolded word or a title. Yeah. So yeah, amazing.
It looks really great. Mm-hmm. There's the second index, though, that I'm really drawn to, and it groups the various assignments into 16 additional categories. So if you're hoping to develop a specific skill or looking for inspiration in a particular topic or category, this index and organization is for you. Mm-hmm. And side note, I just love that it says the following index will help you find your path or perhaps lead you to discover a new one.
Beautiful.
And I won't share all 16, but here are a few of those categories and their descriptions. So we have assignments that fall into the see things in a new way category. These are designed to train your attention, make the hidden visible, and move beyond the obvious. There's also a category for work well with others. These are designed to build trust, courage, energy, and joy. Mm-hmm. There's a section to help you come up with ideas so that you can generate new directions and unleash your imagination. There's one called Take Control of Your Own Learning to help you notice and reflect on the changes in your thinking, abilities, and work. There's one called Work Toward Equity to help you build consciousness and develop humility, challenge bias, and put effort into ethics. And then, Catherine, I thought of you in this section. There's one called Have Fun, and it's exercises to help encourage play.
Oh my goodness. This is so perfect. And Laura, you have found another winner for us. And all of these topics, I can see how we have created learning experience that we need all of these activities in there. Oh my goodness. Well, you've got to give me an example. What do these assignments look like?
Of course. And I have to say, like, I really struggled choosing one to share. I had a few that were bookmarked, and then I was just sort of flipping through again. And instead of narrowing down my list, I was just adding to it. But I decided to share number 33, and it's called The Solution Already Exists. Mm-hmm. This work features work from Matt Roth, and it's listed under the category to come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. Now, this assignment, like most, is only 2 pages long. And well, it's really more like a page and a half, because half of one page is this colorful illustration. And this one, just for reference, is this vibrant yellow giraffe eating from a really tall tree. And then next to the giraffe is a human on a cherry picker machine that's elevating them to that same tall branch that the giraffe is eating from. A few of the exercises are like 3 or 4 pages in length, but most of them really are a page to a page and a half. So very accessible, nice. Very doable. So this assignment in particular, The Solution Already Exists, is designed to help you seek relevant inspiration when faced with a creative challenge, and encourages you to steal the ideas of others in just the right way. Side note, they suggest reading Austin Kleon for practical advice for ethical creative theft. So excellent phrase, and also shout out to a previous season of the podcast when you were inspired by his book, Steal Like an Artist.
Very nice.
But anyway, for this exercise, you're directed to use it when you already have a pretty clear idea of the problem and you're starting to think about solutions. And to keep in mind that the solution or some piece of it already exists. So you're asked to come up with an analog, which looks like an example of how someone else has solved a problem similar to yours, but in a different context. And so this brings a point of comparison and kind of a jumping off point for research to learn more about this analog that's been solved. From there, after you dive in, kind of do some research, learn some things about this comparable problem solved, you're invited to answer the following questions. Why did this analogous solution work? How do you know it worked? How did it transform people's feelings? And what are people able to do now that they couldn't do before? From there, you use these insights as the starting point to explore new ways to tackle your problem and come up with approaches and solutions that fit your context.
Oh my goodness, I'm already so inspired. I'm trying to wrap my head around a problem. I need this exercise right now in my life. So
yes.
I know the solution already exists. It's just, I need that little cherry picker to go a little bit higher to reach the top of that tree branch.
Exactly. You and I are part of a few groups that utilize the solution circles type of conversations around these problems of practice. This is something that I like to facilitate with coaches. And I'm even hosting a session this summer that's an idea exchange that's designed for sharing and problem solving for educators. So immediately I thought about this and I'm now feeling inspired to kind of tweak these conversational groups just a bit to incorporate some of the thinking and certainly those questions from this exercise so that we can kind of move beyond conversation, which is great, but toward more tangible takeaways if we approach these topics with some of the moves from the solution already exists.
Oh, that is so perfect because I think when we do have those problems of practice, we do enjoy the conversation and the collaboration, but you're right. It's that moving to the next step that we need. So reflection questions and even that mindset, the solution already exists is so, so helpful. Okay. Tell us more. What else?
Okay, so for real, I really wish I could just read all of the assignments to you or my top five, because truly each time I'm flipping through and then take the time to read really most of them, I can think of a way to incorporate it in a PD session, a meeting, or even my own planning and thinking process. So really big win here. I will further just pique your interest though by listing a few more of the 80 assignment titles. So we've got The Girl on the Chair, Solutions Tic-Tac-Toe, What's in Your Fridge, Tell Your Granddad, Learning How You Learn, ABC Sketching, Empathy in Motion, How to Talk to Strangers, and of course, What, So What, Now What?
Oh, well, those titles are so engaging as well. And so even if you are just talking to your PD participants and say, now we're going to discuss what's in your fridge, how fun. And curiosity is definitely piqued by just those titles. Love it.
So I'll also share that one of the very first pages that I flipped to when I got the book was to an assignment called Expert Eyes. And I was delighted to see that it comes from the mind of Susie Wise, who is one of our favorites and the author of Design for Belonging, the topic of a previous episode. And to further connect, Expert Eyes involves walking around the block for like 20 minutes and drawing what you see in a notebook. Then you repeat the walk with an expert who has a different perspective. I think it's set up for you to see how multiple stakeholders and perspectives really do add meaning and insight. But mostly it reminded me of one of my last shares from this season, the immersive audio learning experiences, which of course was going on a walk and recording your observations in a notebook. So I love finding connections to previous D-School sources of inspiration that I've gotten to share on this very podcast.
Well, once again, so many connections of the things that we've talked about. And I love that you found one from Susie Wise. That is incredible. So, okay. Anything else you'd like to share?
Mostly, I just want to reiterate how fun it is to interact with this colorful book. I have a feeling it's going to be my new desk coffee table book and really a go-to resource in the future. I will end with a quote, and I'm pretty sure this is one that you snapped a photo of when you were previewing the book yesterday. I love these words. I love the challenge, and I love that it ends in a way that kind of sounds like the closing lines of our podcast. So here we go. It says, "Learning how to learn is the fundamental ability you need to thrive in our dynamic century. It's at the heart of every assignment in this book, philosophies and ways to approach the world with an inquisitive, open mind, to frame opportunities to change things, to make your ideas tangible and testable in order to learn what's possible." The philosopher Eric Hoffer said, "In a time of drastic change, it is the learners who inherit the future. The learned usually find themselves equipped to live in a world that no longer exists. Let's be learners. Let's be designers. Let's inherit the future and do everything we can to shape it for the better."
Oh, what a beautiful find. And that needs to be our motto, our philosophy. I just love it.
I agree. And I was so excited to, again, give you a little preview yesterday and then have time to talk more about it today. So super excited.
I am already so inspired and I'm feeling energized by this idea and the conversation. So thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. And as you know, we want to launch Further Thinking and challenge each other to apply what we share as we consider now what. So now what, Laura? What are some next steps from here to incorporate ideas from Creative Acts for Curious People into your work?
I've already bookmarked one from the Work Well with Others section that's intended to build trust, courage, energy, and joy. Nice. It's called Favorite Warm-up sequence, and I've actually already built out the slides, and I have it as part of the slide deck for one of my summer sessions that really relies on good communication and collaboration in order for the session to work as designed. And so this one in particular caught my eye because Sarah says she likes to use the sequence with people who have never met each other before, but will be working closely together. This is often the case at our summer roadshow sessions that are hosted all over our region as educators from many different schools and many different districts meet together. So I'm really excited to see how it goes.
Sounds perfect.
Additionally, I want to challenge myself to not stick this book back on my shelf, but really dig in and lean on this as, again, that go-to resource for finding activities for specific purposes and intentions. I can see this working really nicely with the coaching groups that I get to work so closely with to kind of push thinking, foster true collaboration, and get into that creative problem solving. I'm actually meeting with a group next week to think through some tweaks and redesigns of their instructional coaching program for next year. And I've already bookmarked a few of these exercises to use with them. So stay tuned to hear how that works out.
Well, I can't wait. And I imagine that we will be having many conversations about all of the assignments in this book and how they've worked in RPD sessions. And again, can't wait for my book to get here so I can hold it in my hands and dig in. We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what ideas have you heard today that have sparked your interest and inspired further learning about Creative Acts for Curious People?
You may also find us on Twitter at Dig Learn Radio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share the conversation and ideas, we'll cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue the conversation with us online. Reflect to consider the what, so what, and now what of your thinking. Share your learning inspirations and ideas from this episode and beyond.
We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the New Pillars of Modern Teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.